Mark chapter 8, starting at verse 14. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12. They replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" This is the word of the Lord. If you believe it, you can say, "Thanks be to God." Amen. You may be seated. Leftovers, please allow me this morning to applaud the wonder, the beauty, the grandeur of leftovers. First of all, leftovers indicate the provision of food for you has been so complete, so abundant, that you've not only had enough to eat, you have more than is needed. At that time, the provision is overflowing, more than enough. You might even be left questioning what to do with all that you have. And leftovers can also provide some forward-thinking momentum. Why, I'm already set for the next meal. No laborious preparation, no drain on your thought process. Just grab the leftovers. You're ready to go. I particularly enjoyed leftovers when I had to get my lunch ready for work as a teacher. And when there were no leftovers, I would often have some pretty surprising lunches. I'd be in a rush and I'd just grab stuff out of the fridge, like just a carton of cottage cheese and a whole head of lettuce, throw it in a bag. And my work colleagues would think my lunches were hilarious. And when I did have a beautifully crafted sandwich for lunch, they would comment, "Oh, I see that your wife Karen made your lunch today." And what can I say? That was actually true. Leftovers, they are a blessing. And if I can get very serious for a moment, when I think of the leftovers I have, I'm very aware that many in this world, in different countries, and right here in Oceanside, they don't have leftovers. They don't even have enough to eat. And it makes me stop and realize how thankful I should be. And what can I actually do? How can I make a difference and share more of what I have, more of what God has given to me? Leftovers are a blessing. And this passage shows us that God is a God of leftovers. He not only provides what we need, but he provides more. He provides in abundance. So let's take a closer look at this passage in Mark. And I encourage you this week to read a longer section of Mark. Get the context. Mark's one of the 4 Gospels, the biblical accounts of the life of Jesus when he was here on earth. And you might decide to read the entire Gospel of Mark this week. It's 16 chapters, so 2 or 3 a day, and you would have read the whole book. Or you might want to start with Mark chapter 6, verse 30. That's the feeding of the 5,000, and read until the end of this passage, Mark 8, 21. And if you did that, Mark 6, 30 to 8, 21, you would read of Jesus miraculously feeding multitudes, praying, teaching, walking on water, healing the sick, challenging the Pharisees, casting out a demon that had possessed a little girl, healing a deaf and mute man. As we see Jesus, as we walk with Jesus, our understanding of God enlarges. The scales are lifted from our eyes. We see a God of power, of blessing, of abundance, a God of compassion, provision, and love. We do not need to fear or worry. God will provide. God is bigger than your financial struggles, your heartbreak, or disappointments in relationships, your difficulty in finding a job, your housing, your health concerns. Our God provides. He blesses. He heals. He does miracle. Let us understand and see. Be careful, Jesus warns his disciples, Mark 8:15. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. What is this yeast? Clearly, it's not good. And it seems to be subtle. It mixes with other ingredients. You might not even notice it at first, but then it works itself throughout everything. Thoughts, attitudes, influence, perception, actions that take us away from God and God's ways. Yeast. Sometimes God is incorrectly understood, sometimes completely ignored. And this morning, I'm not so much aiming for the exact definition of yeast, but rather a personal application of what takes us away from faith in God, faith in all that God is and everything that God does. God heals, God restores, God creates, God is victorious, God is faithful, steadfast, our rock and redeemer, God is loving, God provides. So what's the yeast in your life? What works against you joyfully trusting in God's abundant provision? When I think of yeast that I should watch out for, it's this idea of me being at the center of things. Me. And sadly, this can even happen as I attempt to serve God. I'm the one who needs to control what happens. Things depend on me, not God. Me. And as I say it out loud to you, it sounds completely ridiculous. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. So let me declare some scripture to you this morning. Declare the word of God. I'd like to read Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. This is the word of the Lord. The Pharisees couldn't let go of their own desire for self-reliance and superiority. They had their rules, lots of them. And Jesus rebuked them. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. What are we holding on to? What are the areas in our lives that we insist on having control, the final say, instead of surrendering to the will of God, the loving and perfect will of God, as we read in Romans 12. Finances, relationships, career choices, how we entertain ourselves, screen time, friendships, what we eat and drink. Let's give God the control of every area of our lives. What about impure thoughts? What about fear? What about the idea that we're not good enough? Or the need to please others? Or what about the idea that we need to be perfect? This is all yeasty stuff that we need to guard against. Get rid of the yeast. With God, you will feast. So Jesus tells his disciples to watch out for the yeast. And they think, it's because we have no bread. I mean, who forgot the bread? Matthew? Was that like your job? Thomas? I doubt you'd remember. No, I'm actually kidding. That the Bible doesn't say those details. It doesn't say they argued, but it does say, thanks, I like that. I'm a granddad now, so got to throw them in. But it does say they discussed the matter with each other. They talked this over, and they felt that Jesus' yeast comment was kind of a slam, a rebuke, because they had no bread, or at least not enough, just one loaf. But they completely missed the point. Jesus wasn't rebuking them. He was sincerely warning them, reminding them to have faith in God. The disciples actually fell into the yeast trap. They had an incorrect understanding of God and his ways, seemingly thinking they needed to be self-reliant and to have brought the bread in order for anything to work out. They thought they needed bread, but what they actually needed was faith. But let's not be too hard on the disciples, because at least for me, I too often do the very same thing. If I don't see the thing in front of me, I can be tempted to doubt. I mean, the reality was they didn't have enough bread. They had no bread. But the missing piece to their thought process was this. They might have had no bread, but they had Jesus. And that was all they needed. And Jesus is what we need. He's all we need. He's everything we need. God provides. Have faith. And yes, there are times when we might think we have no bread. We might face unemployment, mental health concerns. Perhaps we're worried about our children or concerned about a lack of resources at work or at home. And all these concerns are real. I'm not trying to trivialize anything. I believe it's important to acknowledge when things are difficult and to ask for help and to make changes when we can. But let's not do this on our own. Let go of relying on yourself and grab hold of relying on God. Pray. Have faith. God provides. God provides abundantly. God provides with leftovers. And when the disciples say, it's because we have no bread that you're saying this yeast stuff, Jesus does rebuke them. He corrects them. Jesus does this out of love because he wants them. He wants us to understand how God works. I just love how Jesus corrects them in this passage. He asks questions. He doesn't even explain things so much. The questions have obvious answers, and the questions are designed to emphasize how God provides, how God has provided in the past, and point that God will continue to provide because he's the same God. And Jesus says, "Don't you understand? Don't you remember? With the 5,000, how many basketfuls of leftover pieces did you pick up? And with the 4,000, how many?" I just have this visual picture of these huge baskets, and the leftovers are just brimming over. And Jesus is saying, "That's what God is. Don't you get it? Is your understanding of who I am so small? You don't have to worry about running out of bread when you're with Jesus. Jesus will provide," he says. "I'll not only provide what you need, I'll provide more than what you need. I've done it before, and I'll do it again. Trust me. Have faith." And Jesus says the same thing to us today through God's Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. God is reliable, completely dependable, utterly powerful. His provision is so abundant that there are leftovers. There's more than enough. We can boldly go and explore new horizons because God provides abundantly. Be with Jesus. The disciples were with Jesus as they witnessed his miracles, his healing power, his provision, compassion, love. They weren't off doing their own thing. They were following Jesus. And God calls us to follow Jesus. God calls and we respond. God has designed us for relationship with him, to love him, to obey him, to experience his provision, his kindness, his love for us, to participate in God's mission, to be ambassadors of Christ. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus, you can decide to do that today. We've been singing about it, praying. You can pray to God right where you are, anytime. He hears you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows your heart. And he loves you so much. He created you. You could pray right now if you like. Admit that you've sinned. Believe that Jesus died on the cross, taking the penalty for your sin, the wrong things you've done against God. Believe that Jesus rose again. Jesus offers you eternal and abundant life. Life with him. Come, commit your life to Jesus. Choose to follow him, no matter what. We need to accept and appreciate God's ways and timing. We must understand that we're not God. He is the creator. He is sovereign. God promises blessing. He will provide. but he's also in control of the process and the timing. And sometimes not everything makes sense right away. But with maturity, wisdom, with the filling of the Spirit, we understand, accept, and appreciate that God is on the throne, not us. God is sovereign. He lovingly and abundantly provides according to his good, pleasing, and perfect will, and in his time. I'll invite the music team back up. I'd also like to invite the prayer teams up as well. They'll be in the front corners by the banners. Encourage you to come for prayer at any time. We've been reminded from this passage in Mark of how God provides abundantly. And we want to apply this truth here and now in our lives as God's people, the church. God provides today. Jesus is alive. God's Spirit is here. I invite you to stand. God is our way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. God heals, he restores, he blesses, he provides in abundance. Ask him to stir up faith in your heart. Come forward for prayer. Sing at the top of your lungs or kneel silently in worship. As the Spirit leads, let's give God glory.